You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 444 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, January 4th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as usual, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. Of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network with team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams as well as all 32 NFL teams. If you're the fan of a team that is in the playoffs this weekend, find the corresponding Locked On show. You'll definitely find a crossover episode where they talk to the host of the opposing team as well ahead of the matchup this weekend. And if you're a fan of a team whose coach just got their ass fired, you could also listen to a show about that on the corresponding Locked On whatever team focus, I guess, to the Arizona Cardinals. I think they fired their coach. Listen to Locked On Cardinals and you'll get the lowdown on all that. So make sure you're finding a show on the network that you like. If you do find a show on the network that you like and want to support, please subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all the places you get your podcasts. I know there's far more that I don't know. There's always people asking, hey, is it on Podbean? Is it on Podfriend? Is it on Podpool? Whatever. I don't know. If you use one of those, I'm sure the podcast is on there as well. If not, that's kind of out of my hands. But please subscribe, rate, review on whatever platform you're using. It's very, very helpful and nice and good for the rankings and good for making us more visible and all that good stuff. All right, on today's show, we have a game to talk about. The Raptors lost last night to the San Antonio Spurs by a final score of 125-107. It was certainly a game. The Raptors were kind of out of it from the very beginning. They were down like 34-11 in the first quarter and kind of just like coasted being down 20 for the rest of the game. A couple little instances where it looked like they might come back, but it never really came to anything. And DeMar DeRozan got the revenge game that I think some Raptors fans were kind of secretly hoping he was going to get. And one Raptors fan was not at all secretly hoping he was going to get the revenge game. Joining us today to talk about all of this is our correspondent on feelings, our chief DeMar defender, Katie Heindel. What's going on?
That's a great intro. I feel great. As you mentioned, I feel good. No surprises. Not for me.
You were expecting DeMar to have a revenge game, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I love a revenge game. Come on.
Yeah.
But like, I think, like, let's be fair. On top of that, this now ends my revenge game quota for the year.
Okay. So you're like, you've officially moved on. You've made your peace with everything. Now that DeMar has done this to the Raptors. Or?
No, I mean, like, everyone who was deserving of a revenge game, Casey, now DeRozan, has gotten there. And I feel like, you know, I feel like that thirst in me has been quenched.
Okay.
But now it's like, you know, moving on.
Fair enough. Part of me is expecting that we're never, ever going to see the Raptors beat either the Pistons or the DeMar Spurs ever again. And that's just, like, the price you have to pay for the trade to get Kawhi. And, like, Kawhi's very good, and I'm okay with him being on the team. So, like, I think as long as Kawhi is on the team, I do think there might be this hex where even if they don't, like, lose all the time to those teams, like, maybe DeMar is just always going to punk the Raptors. Maybe Dwayne Casey will always have, like, his best sideline out of bounds plays against the Raptors, and I'm okay with that. That's the price you got to pay to get Kawhi on your team, and I'm very cool with that. What was your reaction as this whole game unfolded? Because, like, I don't know. It wasn't much for, like, analysis. They kind of just got their asses handed to them from the start. And it was like, yeah, they're just playing badly. There's the analysis you need. What was your sort of reaction as it was all unfolding?
I mean, like, I feel like I was honestly sitting at it from the opposite side. So I wasn't, like, for once in my life, I wasn't panicked. I wasn't really getting mad watching the game. I was like, this is all unfolding as it should. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as it started to go up to like a 20-point lead up towards the half, I was a little bit like, okay, like, you know, we don't need to, like, hand it to them. They could win, but it would be better if it was like a tight win, because then it would be a triumphant win for DeMar. But this was like, it didn't look great. But I will say, like I'm not that stressed out. I'm not that worried. Watching that game again, like, I don't think I was sitting where most people were, and I was sort of gleefully, like, grinning the whole time. So I don't know if I have like the best, if I'm the best person to correspond with like how the Raptors look. They didn't look great.
No, they did not.
They looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to say like, oh, things will become magically like solved when Lowry and like JB come back, because I don't know that that's 100% true either.
See, I think that's 150% true, because, I don't know, aside from Danny Green being very bad, and I felt bad for Danny having that, like, probably his worst game as a Raptor in his return when he got the great, you know, wonderful response from the Spurs crowd just before Kawhi got his ass booed. That sucked. But aside from that, the two biggest issues I have with the game were Fred VanVleet dribbling the ball 7,000 times on every possession, and Serge Ibaka not being able to guard LaMarcus Aldridge. And I just kind of think, like, when Jonas comes back, Serge is not going to be asked to play all those minutes against a guy like LaMarcus or, you know, Joel Embiid or whoever else has kind of punked him over the last couple weeks with Jonas out. And, like, there's just never going to be time where either Serge or Jonas is not playing against someone that they can succeed against, because that's been sort of Nick Nurse's very nice hack this season, is that, like, they only play in matchups that they're likely to win. And then with Fred VanVleet, like, you put Kyle Lowry in for him, and, like, Lowry kind of does Lowry things and doesn't hold the ball for 15 seconds every possession and is a good shooter and is like a much better attacker of the rim and a much better guy at setting dudes like Ibaka up. And like, I just kind of think Lowry's going to fix everything. Maybe that's a little optimistic, but like, they were so good at the start of the year with Lowry playing the way he was. Even when he was kind of in a bit of a tailspin shooting wise, he was still good and they were still winning. So like, I don't know. I can't raise any real alarm bells just yet, because I just think it is really just a matter of getting those guys back. But I don't know. What is concerning you that might not be solved by those guys?
It's not what might not be solved by them, because I agree with you. When they step back in, some of the rotations that we've gotten into and they're used to will make more sense again. But what worries me is like not having a backup. I mean, like, it's clear, like, I don't know, with Fred and his possessions, maybe he's not as comfortable as of a distributor as he should be at this point. And that seemed a little bit like, okay, like, you know, if he's going to start, he has to be able to do that. So that's not great. I don't know what happened to the, like, ultra-confident Ibaka, who was, like, 100% in the game to, like, start the season. You know what I mean? Like, we made a lot of jokes about that, and then he came in, like, strong and, like, proved us completely wrong. Mm-hmm. But now it's, like, he's a bit, like, okay. Like, he's not looking as confident as he was before. So, like, no, I'm not, like, oh, this team's falling apart. But there's, like, some, you know, some small things that I think this is like the opportunity to look at those things. Otherwise we wouldn't really be seeing them.
Yes.
So maybe it's better to see them now versus like, you know, like knock on wood, everybody stays healthy for the rest of the season. But if something like this does arise again, to be able to say like, okay, we worked out these kinks, you know, halfway through the season.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. The Fred thing is weird. I just don't know if he's like cut out to, it just seems weird when you have both Siakam and Leonard out there, like, to have Fred kind of run the offense. I know he's the point guard, but also he's a good shooter and can kind of hang out off the ball and be just fine. And, like, Siakam had 7 assists last night, and it felt like he barely touched the ball. But he's a very good passer and playmaker. Kawhi had 5 assists, too. It's like, I don't know. Like, just have those two run the possessions more often than not, and I think better things will happen. And, like, usually when Leonard got the ball last night, he was like, okay, I'm just going to go dunk it, and then he did. And they didn't really see, like, he only had 13 shots last night. That seems low and not ideal. And Siakam only taking 8 shots is also weird and not good. And yeah, I think Fred kind of shares a lot of blame in that. And like Ibaka, I think a lot of his issues are that like there's just not as much chemistry with VanVleet as there is with Lowry. And I think Lowry's like been the biggest reason why Ibaka's been good. But I am concerned if he's going to get worn down by just playing against large dudes all year until Jonas gets back. Like, maybe he just can't be the same sort of, like, energetic, bouncy dude he was at the start of the season in the latter half. So we'll see what happens there. He's had the knee stuff, too. But, like, I don't know. I don't think it's all doom and gloom or anything like that. I'm sure if they lose to the Bucks and Pacers this weekend or even one of those games, people will lose their damn minds. But I'm not, like, I'm not at the point where I'm too concerned just yet. Because, like, they haven't been healthy, and when they are healthy, they've been really, really good. Also, Norm, if we're talking, like, stuff that happened in last night's game, Norm looked really good, and it continues to look really good. How are you enjoying the Norm Renaissance?
I mean, is it a renaissance yet?
I don't know. It's been pretty good. Like 14 points in the last two games. Like,
No, I like him showing up and actually like giving some semblance of, you know, a former Norm of the past or former Norm's glory.
Yeah.
But he looked good. I think the thing to remember too is like, regardless of the game that we wanted DeMar to have, I wouldn't say like the ancient Spurs, like they all had the game of their lives last night.
Yeah.
So. Like, that's not, I think that's still a bit of an anomaly. I don't think that's something that they're going to have all the time. Good for them, but it was really like, they all came out. Stars came out last night.
Yeah, Aldridge going 10-14 seems low. It felt like he hit everything and took all of the shots. And then, like, Derek White, you know, somehow going off for 19 on 8 of 11 was a little bit bizarre, too. Obviously DeMar, the bench was like not that particularly impressive or anything like that, but yeah, the starters kicked the Raptors' asses, and like they didn't have to do much after they got that lead. Like, when you're up 24 in the first quarter, I know like basketball is weird and there's runs and stuff, but like that's as close as there is to like winning a game in the first quarter as you can get. So they didn't really have to do all that much in the way of like, I don't know, providing any sort of resistance to the Raptors trying to provide their own. It was just, I don't know, it was a one of the weirder game flows I can remember, because it just, as soon as they were down that much, it was like, yeah, this feels over.
Ceased to flow.
Yeah.
As soon as they became like down by that much, which felt like it was honestly at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. Also, another thing I'm concerned about, you know, the offense has been like kind of butt, and again, I think that's kind of probably a byproduct of not having Kyle, but OG, man, he's freaking me out a little bit. He was only 18 minutes last night. He had no points on 0-3 shooting, and like, he probably could have put up about 10 shots in this game. He had a ton of wide open threes that he just like didn't decide to shoot, and like would take a dribble or just like take one step and pass it off. Are you concerned about OG at all?
No, because I think this is something. One, he's kind of like, he's had a pretty up and down year personally.
Yeah, it's been it's sucked.
Yeah, and I think, like, we've seen him in these slumps before, and he does always come out of them, like, pretty strong.
Yeah.
He's like, a really self-aware player. So, no, if he was, like, I don't know, if he, like, somehow transformed into this kind of, like, Klay Thompson-style comments of being, like, I miss my hand. Like, what's going on? I don't know. You tell me. No one can tell me. But he's just, like, he's not like that. He's probably really aware that he's like not looking the greatest, so no, I'm not really that worried about him.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think like if anything that might just be a reflection of like not playing with Kyle.
Yeah, also like he did so much in the playoffs last year for me to think that like he got so much rope from me with what he did in the playoffs that it's gonna take for a lot for me to think like he's broken or anything like that, or that he's just not the same player he was last year, because I don't know, man. He was so impressive in the playoffs. I'll trust that as opposed to like this little slump here while, you know, he's going through some stuff personally this year. How did you feel? So there was a thing that was kind of circulating around last night from certain corners of Raptors internet, and like drawing parallels between this game and like former playoff Raptors games, which seemed like a weird jump to make, because A, it's January 4th or 3rd, and they're also missing Kyle and Jonas, and like, I don't know if it was like the Raptors, I don't know if the Raptors particularly looked shook, they just looked bad, they didn't look like they were scared to me. I don't know, do you buy into this at all, like, oh, the Raptors that can't handle the pressure are still like a thing? Because I thought that was kind of a strange and ambitious leap to make.
No, although I did have a Spurs fan in my mentions.
Oh.
Who was like, Raptors being back to, what do they say? He's like, should call them. No, I need to pull this up because it was terrible. And I didn't respond to it.
Please tell me it was Craptors.
It might be. well, let's see. No, one, I'm not worried about them. They're not choking. The game was like, it wasn't a good game. It was like a shitty game. They didn't look great at all. They looked tired. I don't think they showed up. I think like, it was interesting, you're talking about like the stats that they did put up, which like aren't terrible, but the whole thing is, it's just like, you know, you were talking about Siakam's game, and earlier today I was thinking, I was like, where was he? Like,
yeah.
No one really like had a presence in that game. like, I can't remember what anyone did, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's kind of unusual for any Raptors game this year, it seems like, which is great. So, I mean, not that last night wasn't great. It's a great problem to be having that, like, we have, like, a plethora of things to remember.
Yeah.
After every game, except for this game. So, again, I think it was just, like, a bit of a absentee game, and I'm not worried about this being, like, a trend that they have to buck. I found it.
Okay.
Toronto looking like the DeMar... Ronto chokers tonight.
The DeMar Ronto chokers?
DeMar Ronto chokers tonight. In playoff form already, DeMar should be happy to be in San Antonio, the best basketball organization in the league. But the comment doesn't even make sense because DeMar
is making fun of DeMar.
And yeah, you're also making fun of DeMar in your compliment.
So you guys are looking like... You guys are looking like the team that was dragged down by the player that I now profess to be fantastic. What the fuck? Spurs, yeah. I'm very glad I avoided the wrath of Spurs fans in the Menchies last night. I was, because I know some people were getting it hard. Like, I think our friend Kelsey O'Brien was in, like, a couple spats with morons. Spurs fans are, I mean, Raptors fans can be their own brand of, like, intense on the internet, but, like, Spurs fans... Like, it's like a cult almost, and like any sort of disparaging remark against the organization or Pop or anyone who plays for them is not well received. It's almost like they're just like Twitter searching Spurs related things to just get mad about because it's.
It, I think so.
I don't know how they would find us.
Like, they've been. They were so. What was like killing me was how earnest they were and like they're dissing and like. The traitor chants were crazy to me.
Oh my god.
Also the sign that said not a leader and it literally looked like the guy wrote it in blood. And then the guy who had the printout of the emoji, like the snake emoji and then Kawhi's head, which you know he must have got as a cutout in better days when he was sitting at like one of the ends and they would wave those around to distract the opposing team.
Yeah.
But he put them together to obviously to tell his story.
There was a lot of talk about booing. There were like seven columns written about booing today that I saw. Oh, like, I don't know.
That's a big boo quota. I missed those.
So many boos. Were you... in favor of the Spurs fans' decision to boo Kawhi as aggressively as they did?
No, I feel like, you know, get your boos in early. I thought it was like, I thought it was rude, but I get booing him immediately after Danny Green. That's what I thought was kind of rude.
Yeah.
When they introduced them. But then, like, finish that, you know? Like, you got it out. You had your, like, you know, you had your time to... vent or whatever,
yeah.
And then just like let the game go on. The traitor chants, like I could deal with the boos here and there, and it didn't seem like they were that intense. I did like the MVP chants for DeMar. I thought like, okay, you
those
support
are sweet.
Your,
yeah.
Your new dude, yeah. Even if you're doing it totally in a weird revenge way, but like traitor, it's just the craziest thing to chant. And also like you know, I saw a few people making this point like. Maybe take a look inwardly at your team's medical staff.
Yeah.
And the reason this guy was, like, driven away. Take a look at our friend Isaiah Thomas's great tweets, which I left last night. Because it's true. Like, this guy got you a championship. Maybe he left in a way you didn't like. I think he left in a way he didn't like.
Yeah, I don't think he was, like, thrilled about it. I think it was more of a protect myself from these crazy doctors type thing. More than anything. Yeah.
So I think, like, whatever, like, maybe this is it. The thing is, I don't think that's it for San Antonio fans. I think they're going to hold on to this, like, for the next however many, wherever Kawhi ends up next. And then after that, then maybe they'll get over it, like, three teams from now.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like, I know the traitor chants were extremely lame and like thirsty, but the chant that got me was when they were chanting overrated. First of all, he was on the bench, so I'm assuming it was directed towards Kawhi. But like, the overrated dude fucking won you a finals. Like that's the thing. That's the whole thing about it is, like, I get booing him in the moment, and I thought it was a weird call by the Spurs game ops, and, like, shouts to the Spurs game ops for perennially making the Raptors one look good, even though the Raptors ones are not particularly good either, but, like, the Spurs are just a disaster. I thought it was weird they did the tribute before the intros. Usually you'd see that in, like, the first time out, and then, so you get your boos out during the starting lineups and stuff like that, and you get your boos out in the first part of the game, and then you actually get time to actually, like, see the tribute video in the timeout when everyone's seated, and then you can usually get a pretty nice moment out of that. I thought that was kind of a misstep by the game ops crew there. But yeah, I get it, and, like, I mean, I can't throw stones. I was at the first game Tracy McGrady played here after he left, and I booed the hell out of him as a 7-year-old kid, and I loved every second out of it. It was great, but, like, I was seven. and also Tracy McGrady had never won a title for the team, or a Finals MVP, or two Defensive Player of the Years. And, yeah, it feels like Spurs fans are very much overlooking the internal stuff about, like, what the Spurs might have had to do with all of this. Actually, it was an interesting... I was doing a radio show earlier this week, and we had Jack Armstrong on, and he was talking about how, like, San Antonio is like a one newspaper town, essentially. It's like the Express News and not much else, and it is the only thing they have. And the Spurs kind of have like a vice grip over the message that comes out in that paper and just like in general about the team in San Antonio. And I do think that probably is played into, like, you know, Kawhi got some flack last night for like the whole thing about, oh, the media will drum up or whatever. Like, maybe that's like not the best way to direct your score in Kawhi, but like, I do think the side of the Spurs and like what their role in all the whole thing that happened with Kawhi is has kind of been untalked about. I don't know. It's all very dumb. And like the fact that we're still talking about it is silly. Yeah.
Well, it's dumb. And I guess like what I'd be more interested in is what Pop said to him, like when he went over at the end of the game.
Yeah. Shouts to Pop for shooing away the cameras like a hero.
Yeah. I mean, that's just his MO, like anytime he's going to do it. But I mean, they did talk for a long time, and you could kind of see, like, Kawhi, it was like, it went through stages, like, Kawhi pulled away, yeah, and he was, like, pulled back in, and then they were, like, far, and then they were close.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he was like, don't mind these crazy Cowboys in the stands, but, no, I don't know. Like, I'd be more curious about, like, it's obviously great that he did it, but I think whatever happened in San Antonio isn't going to go away from Kawhi's perspective anyway, just like an after game sort of chat. But I do think that like a lot of the pressure that was there is off now, you know, like this was a thing that it's kind of like he'd been waiting for to happen all year. Hence why I think like when they come here in a couple of weeks, like it's going to be a totally different game.
Yeah. I feel you for there for sure. Although DeMar might be on the revenge tour once again, I think he's probably just going to, like, look for Masai Ujiri to dunk on him somehow. Like, just over, like, standing by the stanchion, just, like, dunk it into the crowd over top of Masai. I don't know. I could see that. Yeah, also, I wonder, like, what the response... I mean, we're not going to see Kawhi play in San Antonio again for a year, and who knows what team he'll be with when that happens. But, like, I wonder if, like, the cult of Pop... we'll take into account what he said after the game where he said he was disappointed that they did that. Because like Spurs fans love themselves some Pop and he is their dad. And I wonder if that's going to deter them from doing it in the future. I wouldn't put it past the, like a coach having that much hold over a fan base in the Spurs case. So yeah.
Because now they've gathered his scorn.
Yeah. You don't want to disappoint dad again. Like, come on. Yeah. So, yeah, you've had your fun. Now be a nice boy. Yeah, I don't know. Any other stray thoughts about this game or DeMar or Jakob Poeltl or Rudy Gay or any? I guess all the other former Raptors who were probably on the Spurs?
No, but I did think that like as they were playing, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, that guy. Not with Jakob, but just being like, they should just call this like Raptor South.
Yeah, Marco Bellinelli's on them too.
No, I think like, again, like it was the revenge game I wanted, save for a couple like very strange fan reactions, which are more funny than anything now. But there were some moments, and I think we're getting to this, where it really like tore at my heart, just like seeing Kawhi alone.
Yeah.
when he was on the bench, I think after they sat him for the last time, like when he was done with like 4 minutes left, and there was a very long zoom in on his face. And he was just like sitting there by himself, and he looked like, I mean, I'm sure he was just tired, but yeah. He also just looked like super bummed out and a bit lost. And then the terrible clip that's going around, and a lot of good jokes are being made about it, but it's like really tears me up in earnest every time I look at it. But when Kyle and Damar are like riffing on the side, and then Kawhi walks over,
right?
In that moment where it's like, this is the moment you include him in the conversation, and then they just both kind of look at him and look away, and then he just veers away alone again.
He did hug Damar, I think. I think that did happen.
They did hug, yeah. a brief hug, yeah. Which in pictures I've been looking at, it makes it easier to pretend it was longer, but it's nice that they did that.
It's weird, because Kawhi I don't think is like outwardly looking for like a million friends or anything like that. He seems like he wants to keep to himself and his family, and that's totally his prerogative. That's cool, but I do wonder if like, I worry about him a little bit. Like, this is why Serge Ibaka is so fundamental, I think. I think Serge and Kawhi actually have, like, a nice little relationship going. There was an Instagram picture, I think, posted yesterday of those two just, like, smiling and looking gleeful. And again, it's something you can, you know, pretend is lasting longer than the fleeting, just, like, snapshot that whatever photographer was waiting 10 hours to get. Like, you could pretend that's just how they were feeling the whole day at practice yesterday. Also, there was the guy in the game, like, what game was it again? The Utah game, was it, where Serge had his arm around Kawhi after an and-one. Like, I think Serge, we talked about the Norm Renaissance. The Serge Renaissance is, like, good teammate and, like, best friend of everyone on the team has been very real this season. Like, I don't know if people actually liked Serge that much last season, but this year he seems just, like, a wonderful person to be around. And I think he seems to be kind of the gateway into sort of Kawhi's inner heart, and I think Norm too, because they're San Diego friends. But I don't know. What's your opinion on Kawhi and having friends on the team?
He needs a friend.
Yeah,
he needs a friend on the team. And I guess for a while I thought like maybe Lowry, like certainly not in the capacity that he was friends with Damar and still is friends with Damar, but just like a day-to-day bud to chat with. Like it seems like apparent that at practice, just from like pictures that you see, he's getting along with everybody. Like there's a lot of smiles, like he's comfortable.
Yeah.
But like, who did he go hang out with after the game last night?
Yeah.
No one, you know? Probably no one. And like, to your point, his mom, I think like Kawhi and Norman Powell's moms are friends.
Yeah.
I've read, and I think like that's cool, and obviously they know each other, but they can't be friends in that way. Just like everyone had a friend like that when you were like growing up or whatever, and it's like your parents knew each other and they're like, you guys should hang out, and you're like, yeah, I guess so, we're from the same place, like we know each other, but like I didn't choose this person. So I don't think like they can be, it's nice that he's got some familiarity there, but I don't know if they can be like buds. And Serge, I agree with you. I think Serge is, like, getting along with everybody in a brand new way that he didn't last year. Like, I think he's all in on this team in a much different way, and you can see it in his playing style and the way he's vibing with everybody. But I need to know, like, what you've seen that I haven't that makes you believe that Serge and Kawhi are going to become very good buds.
I guess I haven't seen anything that no
you
one
have
else
a
has
hunch?
Seen. Yeah, it's just me sort of like, like I don't know, extrapolating from pictures mostly. Also, like, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I was doing the like when we were picking all the each Raptors like food they would be good at. I had been looking at the roster similarly, deciding who would be a good friend for Kawhi, and I don't know.
Serge does seem a little bit too maybe like gregarious and worldly for Kawhi, perhaps. But I don't know. He just seems like anyone who's going to cook you food, I feel like, is pretty easy to become friends with. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like someone you want to be pals with. And I don't know. I'm ready for Kawhi to be on his cooking show. That's for damn sure. I'm looking at the schedule, and there's a home game on Tuesday against the Hawks. So it's pretty much an off day. on Tuesday, and then they have 2 days off, 9 and 10, before another home game on the 11th. So there's 2 days at home in between games next week. I'm guessing we'll probably get a How Hungry Are You filmed in one of those 2 days. Lorenzo Brown, he's firing up the cameras. He's getting everything clean and ready. He's, you know, emptying the hard drive and the camera, so he's prepared. I think maybe we'll see that. And, like, I don't know, give me Kawhi on that shit, man. I think that would go a long way. Kawhi appearing on that show would go a long way, I think, towards easing my concerns about his role, his fit within the team, and his sort of, you know, status within the social hierarchy of the team. And I think it would prove my theory that him and Ibaka are pals too.
But I want that to happen for you.
Yeah, it's a weird team, right? Because like, it's there's sort of like groups of, so like Kyle and CJ are like the old dads who I think just hang out with their families most of the time. You've got the young guys like DeLon, Norm, Fred. Although he also has kids, so you can maybe put him in either one of those categories. Honestly, Danny Green feels like the most likely single dude. I know Kawhi has a kid as well. I'm not sure if his daughter is in Toronto with him though. But like Danny Green seems like he's like doing the single podcast thing. Like he's just kind of living life and enjoying it. I wonder if like maybe they can kind of reconnect a little bit now that they're in a new place. I've never gotten the impression that they don't like each other or anything like that. But
no,
I wonder.
I think they're like colleagues, you know what I mean? They're like your close colleague that you've got at your job. But yeah. I think I was thinking about this as well, and I thought, well, Danny's got his snakes. Like, I feel like someone who is that close with like your weird pets that you're into. And like, yeah, as you mentioned, like he's podcasting, he's like doing a lot of stuff. Like, he's weird, he's busy, and he's like Kawhi is the kind of friend I think where you'd hang out with him and then you'd be like, this guy just like doesn't seem into it, and it wouldn't be like that much fun of a hang.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, this guy hates me. You'd be oscillating between all these feelings, and then you'd hear from him like 3 days after and he'd be like, that was fun.
Yeah,
you know?
That was a great time. Yeah. The social cues are not easy to pick up on with Kawhi.
Yeah, and I think that makes it difficult like for him to fall in with guys, especially because like a lot of these dudes, you know, they play together for so long now.
Yeah.
I think people like, you know, CJ and Greg Monroe even, like, and Danny have, like, come and, like, sort of fallen into a social, like, niche on the team that seems, like, a bit more clear where they fit. Kawhi doesn't. I think he's got this, like, outsider thing just because of, like, you know, all the, like, I don't want to call it controversy, but all the, like, talk that surrounded him. And, like, he's this, like, he came in to Toronto in this, like, huge, like, asteroid force way. He just like seems like a shy, quiet guy, and like that doesn't really blend well to like, you know, being gregarious and like getting into the team and figuring out where you fit. Like he seems like he's waiting, and I don't know who's gonna like step forward.
Yeah, I do wonder if maybe Monroe is the guy.
Yeah,
because he's kind of like he's one of those guys that doesn't really fall into any one of those cliques. Like he's not in one of the young guys. He's not in like the old dad's club. Like he just likes his water. I bet Kawhi likes water. Maybe they could, you know, bond over the brand of water they enjoy the most.
I think what we're going to be able to tell is when the shoes come out and who else on the team is wearing them.
That's a good call. Did you like the shoe designs that leaked, by the way?
The maybe shoe? No, like, I like the all red one, and then I was looking at them, and it's really hard to tell what kind of fabric they're going to be and the texture of on them. So I'm hoping that if they look like that in real life, they look a lot cooler.
Right. I kind of didn't hate them. I don't know. Like, they're better than LeBron shoes.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron shoes are shit.
I mean, I just really wanted them to be, like, a New Balance shoe. I wanted them to be, like, beige.
Yeah.
All beige.
I was fully on board with having, like, a white to green gradient to resemble grass stains from cutting the lawn. Because my dad has 4 pairs of those exact shoes, and I was, you know, that's the market you should be trying for, Kawhi. But I guess not. He went a little bit more sleek and colorful. I don't think they're that bad. I think they're kind of all right.
They're not bad. Yeah. They're definitely worse, and we gotta see him for real.
Yeah. I think that's gonna do it. We've gone on a long time here. Katie, thank you so much for joining the show. This was fantastic. Great to have you on again. How was Mexico, by the way?
Mexico was great.
That's awesome.
It was a beautiful, very chill trip, and I enjoyed it a lot.
That sounds great. This was a very chill podcast, and I also enjoyed it a lot. Katie, where can people find your work?
Oh, bud, I didn't prepare. I guess I'm in a bit of a lull right now, like a self-imposed kind of lull for like writing. But you can please sign up for my newsletter, Basketball Feelings. That's a regular thing, and that will come to you, so you don't even need to go look for it.
It's great. Make sure you sign up for that. Also, you were on Take It or Break It's Sports Person of the Year podcast as an
I sent in my written review because I was way up north when Corbin asked me to do that.
Right. Okay.
Well, and I stand by what I said. So listen for that.
That's in my feed. I got to listen to the 3 minutes of podcasts that are there.
The dramatic reading. I haven't heard it yet.
No. Well, yeah. I'll report back on how well Corbin read your prose as well. We got to do another dramatic reading podcast at some point, I think. We got to figure that out. We can probably plan that off air. We can wrap this thing up.
We could just keep talking about the people. Give the people what they want. Riffing.
Oh, man. Follow me on Twitter at WoodleySean. Follow the show at Locked On Raptors. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. I'll probably have a podcast sometime on Saturday because the Raptors play a game against the Bucks. And people get real jacked up for those and derive lots of meaning from them. So that'll be sometime. Maybe I'll do like a post-game podcast. If not Saturday, then Sunday morning. So stay tuned for that. And we'll be back again. And we're back in the daily grind here. So we'll be back again next time with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Have a good one, everybody.